Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, post-game show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, brought to you by The Market Dominator. It is so good to have every single one of you with me. My name is Joe Miller. I'm the voice of this here show, this program, if it were. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. I know a lot of you watch me on Facebook, but the place to be for these live shows, the place to be is over on YouTube. We are Super Chat Live. Do me a favor, whatever platform you are consuming this vidcast podcast on, whether you're watching me live right now, please like. So if you are on YouTube, that's the thumbs up button, of which the commenters were just going back and forth about who got the first like. Unfortunately, there's not very many likes in general right now. So please go over there, hit that thumbs up button. Facebook, hit the thumbs up button. Twitter, X, whatever, hit that thumbs up button. If you're on Twitter or X, jump over to YouTube because that's where all the fun is. The Overreaction Buffalo Show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. So make sure you go to Buffalo Rumblings and subscribe there. Subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings channel so you can get all the awesome content that we are pouring out. But we are Super Chat Live, as I said. This is a recording of a podcast. I'm not ignoring the comments section. I love my Bills Mafia fam. I love all you guys. If you want to get my attention, if you got a question for me or a comment, something in reference to something I'm saying, just throw a Super Chat in there and I'll see it. It doesn't have to be big dollars or anything like that. It just glows on my screen. So it just gets my attention, if you will. But it's good to be here with you guys. It, you know, all is right with the world. It's Sunday. It's post game. I've got a glass of bourbon and the Buffalo Bills won. I mean, I don't know what else we can ask for besides that. But as we always like to say, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee at the gym with your AirPods in on the drive to work or watching me right now live, let me just say one more time, welcome. Welcome. It's good to have you. Before we get to we're going to talk about everything that happened today. Before we get the madness, as I always say, started, let's hear from our show sponsor, The Market Dominator.
Hey, Bills Mafia, John Spaschek and Scott Cotillo is here. The Market Dominator is the proud sponsor of the Overreaction podcast by our good friend Joe Miller. And listen, I'm wearing the Knox jersey. Scott's wearing the white jersey. They're both on injury reserve. They're broken, right? Bad news. But the good news is the Market Dominators are not broken.
Bills Mafia, if you want to learn how to win and succeed in this real estate market and work with a true pro real estate team, I want to encourage you today to contact us at 716-570-3298. We will show you how we educate, how we advocate, how we negotiate, and how we dominate!
That's awesome. New videos from the Market Dominator team. If you are in the market to buy or sell a house, please do what I did, what me and my wife did. Call John Spaschek and Scott Cotillas, the Market Dominator team at 716-570-3298. That number again, 716-570-3298. Happy days are here again. And let me just be the first, if no one has done it, let me be the first to say happy Victory Monday. Happy Victory Tuesday, happy Victory Wednesday, and by God, happy Victory Thanksgiving. Oh, happy victory Thanksgiving. We have our first super chat from Elliot. My guy, Elliot. If you're not familiar with Elliot, Elliot lives down south. He lives in Florida, and he is a drummer percussionist in a pretty dope band down there. So me and Elliot, we go way back. But he says, I love your buttery voice. Go Bills. Elliot, I love you too, man. So one of these days, we're going to have to connect. We're going to have to meet. We haven't officially met yet, but Elliot, thank you so much, and I appreciate you, bro, more than you know. But it is good to, it's good to be able to sit here and wish all of my Bills Mafia family happy Victory Monday. You know, and the funny part about it being Victory Monday, especially after this game, is, you know, Ken Dorsey, regardless of how you felt about him, and I'm not necessarily going to get too much into the fact that he is gone or why he is gone or if it, you know, was indeed important that he took the fall or was the fall guy. But all we know is that Ken Dorsey is gone. However, the delayed inside handoff from the shotgun still lives. It lives on, ladies and gentlemen. So it is still here with us 2, 3, maybe 4 times a game, getting almost 0 yards. So thank God Ken Dorsey is gone, but thank God we still have the delayed inside handoff from the shotgun. And that is me being incredibly sarcastic in this show, because my dad's sitting next to me and he's like, why do they keep doing that? And I'm like, the world wants to know, Pops. The world wants to know. But I absolutely needed this win. I needed the Bills to win. I did not want to spend the holiday Thanksgiving and all of Thanksgiving being asked what's wrong with this football team. So much like you, I'm sure we're all in the same boat. Thank God the Buffalo Bills pulled this out. So I got another super chat from Peyton, my guy Peyton, who was also in Florida. He said the Jets did it. They just ended the suffering for us. I added the for us. He just said they just ended the suffering. But Peyton, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you for the super chat. Yes, you are correct. The Jets absolutely did it. The Bills did it as well. It was a little bit of a brisk night, probably not like in Florida, here in Buffalo. Despite what was being reported, it was not overly windy. It was not windy in Buffalo. I know that it was windy during the day a little bit, but in the stadium, around the stadium, including on the field, there was virtually no wind. Well, you guys are super chatting. Yeah, this is my buddy Nick Marsochi. Nick, it's good to have you a part of the show. Appreciate you. He said, petition for 41's nickname to be the Tone Setter. I like it. I've got it actually in my notes later. So Reggie, he's talking about Reggie Gilliam specifically. It's a great comment, Nick, and thank you for the super chat. Reggie was in church today, and he walked by me, and I said, "Yo, Reggie," and he looked at me with a big smile, and I was like, "Fullbacks matter, bro." He's like, "Yes, they do," and then he kept walking to pick up his kid from kids' church. But yeah, Reggie set the tone for this football game, and I like it. I think we should absolutely petition. Maybe I know there's T-shirts out there that they say Reggie effing Gilliam. I know there's T-shirts out there from Kate, who I think the Fullbacks Matter is another one. You know, I'm not opposed to a Tone Setter T-shirt if anybody is out there making T-shirts. I tried the T-shirt route. I tried doing some stuff, but y'all didn't buy them. So here we are. Of course, Wildest Dreams Land. I'm not ready to say Wildest Dreams Land are here again because they're not. Maybe soon. A couple more weeks. We'll see how it goes. But it absolutely was a brisk night in Buffalo, New York. Great night for football. Great day for football. The Buffalo Bills, as you all know, came into this game 5-4, and we all pretty much were in the same boat. They've got to win out to make the playoffs, right? There's probably a scenario where they don't have to win out necessarily, but I think that's effectively where we all were, right? That they need to win out to make the playoffs. At least that's where we're going to kind of hang our hat until we know we're in. Until then, the Bills are in control of their own destiny, and they're looking up at everybody else. Pardon me while I take a sip. We're going to take a look at some of the results around the league today during the show, just briefly, and we're probably going to commit some time for the rest of this year, every week, to taking a look at what's happening around the AFC East as well as the AFC as a whole, just so we can kind of keep a good synopsis on where we are week to week, with the expectation that the Buffalo Bills are going to get this thing fixed, get it righted, start winning some football games, and hopefully have some things go our way around the league just in general. As for this game, you know, the Bills put down a New York Jets team 32-6 in a game that probably wasn't as close as the score even sounds to move to 6-5. It's important, if you have not heard yet, that this is the most points that a team has scored on this New York Jets defense, 32. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills, they did what a playoff team is supposed to do. They beat an inferior opponent. And make no mistake, the Jets are not a good football team. They've got a great defense. They've got a very good wide receiver. They've got a running back in Breece Hall that the Buffalo Bills seem to lose track of every single time they play him. But they're not a great football team. Zach Wilson is just bad. He's just not a good quarterback. You got to wonder what their season may or may not have looked like with Aaron Rodgers if he had stayed healthy. Yes, the Jets have been a little bit of trouble for some teams, but for the most part, the Bills did what they're supposed to do. They did not play down to their opponent. We don't have to hear this week about how teams, the Jets, gave them their all because, you know, they run, you know, the 4:30 game, national window, Romo and Nance, and wanted to show the world what they had against the Bills. The Bills went in there, well, went into our own stadium, brought the Jets in, and basically just curb stomped them. But you got to wonder, right? I mean, you watch a football game like that. The Broncos are on TV right now. Some of the other games that were out there, and you just got to wonder what the Bills' record could be, right? What would the Bills' record be right now? Or could they be 7-3, right? Could they be 8-2 in first place of the division? You don't have to think about it long. It's not where we are, right? It's just not where we are. So, but the Jets coming into this football game, you know, they're 4-5. And like I said, they've been trouble for some teams. One of the best defenses in the league. I think they're third. Are they third in passing or third overall? They're just really, really, really hard to play against. But again, Zach Wilson kind of being the bane of the existence for that football team. I don't know how that kid's an NFL quarterback, to be honest with you. And I don't know how Robert Saleh continues to stick with him. And he benched him in this football game again. And you got to wonder if he's going to come out tomorrow and be like, Zach Wilson is our quarterback. I don't know. I don't know how long they can keep this going. I mean, there's a moment where you got to wonder if the third string guy, I don't know his name, number seven, if they just feel like there's no confidence at all in him. But there's a lot of backups playing in the NFL. There's a lot of guys that are trying to make jobs for themselves. I just don't know. I don't know where this road goes for Zach Wilson. This isn't a situation of like, you know, things are better in another city. Greener pastures are out there. He's just not good. He's just not a good quarterback. And it bewilders you on how the Buffalo Bills lost to him week one. Yeah, it just is what it is. But the Dolphins did, however, win again. Beating the Jets, put the Jets firmly in third place in the AFC East. The Dolphins won today, beating the Raiders, moving to 7-3. One game ahead of the Buffalo Bills. Our conversations are so different right now. The teeter that totters feels so different right now if the Buffalo Bills had beat the Denver Broncos last week. If the Bills had beaten the Denver Broncos, we would be 7-3. Or I'm sorry, 7-4 right now, 7-3, 7-4. Yeah, 7-4 right now. And we would be in first place to the AFC, AFC East rather. You know, with the Dolphins, you know, a half game behind us, nipping at our heels a little bit. You're still in a position where you've got to win every single game you can win because the Dolphins are coming hard and charging. But at the end of the day, they dug this hole. We dug this hole for ourselves, right? And there's a hole inside the hole because all of our losses have come against AFC teams. But Here we are. The Buffalo Bills in this football game. I feel like they got lucky early and in a good way, right? So many times this season, bounces have just not gone our way. Tip balls have not gone our way. Even on the Jordan Poyer interception that was called back, you know, to see a ball get tipped up and for one of our guys to come down with it was great. But, you know, Reggie Gilliam, as we've already talked about in the comments section, set the tone early. First, like on the kickoff, came down and just thumped the ball carrier, which was freaking fantastic. Fumble and the Bills, you know, four plays, kick a field goal. But regardless, you know, they came out hot. They came out hard. And they took the lead early in this game, you know, but that wasn't just the only kind of spot where the Bills were not getting lucky, but like where the ball was bouncing their way. In the second drive that the Buffalo Bills had, Stephon Diggs fumbled the football, had the ball stripped out of his arms, and the ball consequently like immediately shot out of bounds. And it was, he was probably what, 10 yards, 8-10 yards from the sideline, and the ball went out of bounds. It was just, it was a very much a, from the stands, from the stadium, I sat there going, oh, he had to be down. So I wasn't too overly worried about it. And then when they showed the replay, he was clearly not down. And then it's like, oh, we got away with one there. So that was freaking fantastic. But, you know, the Bills got up early with two field goals. The first drive on a short field, second drive, 14 plays, 58 yards in that second drive. The Bills, I don't want to say that they had their way with the Jets. And I don't want to go as far as to say that, you know, everything was working. It wasn't one of those games. There were still, you could still see that there were some bumps, right? There were some bumps in this offense. There were some things that they were still trying to work out, trying to figure out what does work. Again, the inside shotgun handoff, delayed handoff. They were still trying that stupid play. I don't know why they don't fire that play into the sun, but it's still hanging out there. But they went field goal, field goal, field goal, punt, touchdown, interception in the first half of this football game, which is, it's a, when you consider all things considered, and that interception, we'll talk about it in a second. If you take the interception off the board, field goal, field goal, field goal, punt, touchdown, that is the way the Buffalo Bills want and need to start. Aside from the fact that it, you know, you'd like to have 7 points instead of threes on some of those field goals. I'm not saying that they got to go TD, 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 punt, TD, but you know, field goal, touchdown, field goal, right? Touchdown, field goal, field goal. Field goal, field goal, touchdown, right? I mean, it'd be nice to get 7 a little more often, but we'll take it. With what we've watched, with what we've witnessed over the last several weeks of football, it was great to see an offense that was confident. It was great to see an offense that was balanced. It was great to see an offense that, you know, dare I say, was playing complementary football, to make Sean McDermott smile and all of Bills Mafia cringe. It was just really good to see them kind of get a little bit of that swagger back. It wasn't a, what I would call a full onslaught of energy. There were times in this game where the Bills lacked energy on offense, in my opinion. And one of those was a key point, a key moment we'll talk about in a second. But all in all, you've got to be happy with what you saw from this offense today. You've got to be happy with what you saw from Josh Allen. You've got to be happy with what you saw from Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, Latavius Murray, Ty Johnson, the new young guy. The offensive line, they just looked good. There's Khalil Shakir had a freaking fantastic football game. All good stuff from this offense, you know, and to do it against a very, very, very good defense. The Jets are just one of those teams. Not that the Dolphins and the Patriots aren't similar to me, but even knowing that we're going to be playing the Eagles, knowing that we're going to be playing the Chiefs, knowing that we're going to be playing the Cowboys, the Jets scare me more than those three teams because there's just something about the way they play against us. There's something about the way they've got our number. There's something about the way that we match up against them that it just, more times than not, it just doesn't go our way. They've been Josh Allen kryptonite. Wearing green is the proper color for that football team because they've been Josh Allen kryptonite for a very long time. Last couple of years, at least, going back to the no punt all field goal game. It's just been one of those teams that Josh has had a really, really hard time against. Alas, dub. Big dubs. Big dubs in this football game. Again, balanced early versus the pass, run versus the pass, pretty much all through the game. There were times when you could see that Joe Brady was committing to the run, which was great. Dalton Kincaid was open pretty much all day in the first half, and then they clamped down on him just a little bit more in the second half. And then he got shook up a little bit. He got his bell rung. He got rocked a little bit in the second half, immediately went off the field and kind of vanished a little bit after that. But just a quick couple things for me in that first half. A quick couple things. And I'm not going to hang around the negative, right? It was a good football game. Right. We don't have our swagger all the way back. The monkey's not off our back. We've got a lot of work to do as a football team, but just a couple things, right? Couple things for me. It's 4th and 2 in the first half, 4th and 2, ball on the 15, kick field goal. At this point, the Buffalo Bills offense is, I'm going to use the phrase, moving the ball pretty much at will. Yes, I believe we had not punted yet. There were some hitches. It wasn't like smooth sailing. It wasn't like everything in the arsenal was working. It wasn't Bills versus Rams week one, 2022 type offensive. It wasn't a no punt. It wasn't Bills versus Patriots in the playoff game in the minus whatever 5-degree game. It wasn't like it was like all smooth sailing, but the Bills were moving the ball pretty much at will. And so at that point in the game, right? Fourth and two, ball in the 15, kick a field goal. Now, I don't know what Sean McDermott was thinking there, because the Buffalo Bills defense was also smothering the Jets offense. At that point of the football game, the Jets offense had seven total yards. I believe they had minus 2 yards passing and 9 yards rushing, seven total yards. And by 6 minutes left in the first half, that number had actually gone down to zero total yards after that field goal on fourth and two from the 15. Just wildly perplexing. And then there was another time in the game, and I don't remember, I can pull up the play-by-play, where it was like fourth and four or something like that, or maybe it was fourth and two from the 48 or the 45, and the Bills went for it and got it. But I just, this was a moment for me where, like, you, the amount of energy that you could give your football team, the amount of confidence that you could build back to your offense as a head coach, the amount of opportunity that you had to basically say, I see you guys. I see the work you did this week. I see your response, right? Let's go out there and let's get this thing. Instead, we're going to kick a field goal. It's just odd. Super odd. And then another one of those moments was after the touchdown, not going for two to make it a three possession football game, to go up instead of going up by 16, going up by 17. And as much as I know that's potentially for some people splitting hairs, three possessions is a big deal. Three possessions is a big deal, especially, you know, when you're talking about a football team that has a tendency to let teams hang around a little bit. There's things that you can do, little things as a head coach, little things as a team, little things as a coaching staff that you can do to help yourself and help your team. And I just feel like those were kind of two of those moments. And then on the last drive, we talked about energy, that the energy wasn't there, in my opinion, for the whole, I was at the game and I don't know how it translated to television, but there was moments in this game where it just felt like the air kind of had left the stadium and like, all the momentum that the offense kind of was carrying was gone. One of those was the last drive for the Buffalo Bills offense. There was just an incredible lack of energy from the guys on the field, from the play calls, from the guys on the field. There was 45 seconds left when they got the ball. I don't remember exactly where they were, 25, 30, 35. It doesn't really make a difference. One, two plays, right? You get those first two plays kind of out of the box, and then you kind of see where it goes from there. And what good football teams do in moments like that is they run that first play, they run that second play. If it gets them where they want to go, then they press, right? They rush down the football field and they try to score. If they don't, good football teams generally at that point kneel on the football. We got a big lead. We know we just gave up some points, but those points were just kind of like trash yards, fake field goal, penalties, and some other stuff like that. It is what, and they missed the extra point. The other team did. The Jets did. So we're just going to take, that little bit of a kind of, that counterpunch that they gave us. We're just going to take it in the locker room. Not a big deal. Not worried about it. We're just going to kneel on it. Instead, coughed off mic. Sorry about that. Instead, what the Buffalo Bills do, the second to last play on that drive with 7 seconds left, Josh Allen scrambles, like runs. It's like, I don't know if it was a design run play or if it was something he just pulled. Where is he going to go in 7 seconds? He's not probably going to rush the ball into field goal territory in 7 seconds. The best thing you hope for there is that he potentially runs the clock out, maybe, but then he goes down and they call a timeout with 2 seconds left on the clock. And the very next play, I'm yelling, and there were people on Twitter that were like, oh, sure, you were calling for him to kneel on the ball. I'm yelling from the stands, like, kneel on the football, kneel on the ball. Let's just go to the half. But they attempt a Hail Mary pass, of which Josh Allen has to break out to his left, trips a little bit, throws the ball back across his body. Again, the wind was not a factor in this moment. The wind was also not a factor in Tyler Bass's missed field goal. There was no wind in the stadium. I've got pictures I can send you to prove it. Pictures of the flags on the goalpost, pictures of the flags at the top of the stadium. There was barely any wind. It would kick up momentarily and not even like to a stiff breeze. It would just kind of like blow a little bit. It wasn't that big of a deal. Throws the ball down. It gets intercepted. And the dude returns the football. What was it? 40 yards? 45 yards? Now, I'm not saying that it was a moment of like all of our hearts were beating out of our chest, but it was just incredibly unnecessary. It was untimely. It was unnecessary. And it just didn't make sense. And I know that some of you out there, some of the mafia, some of the people listening to my voice is like, well, I'd rather they at least try something. What if they throw it down there and get a pass interference call? Not going to happen. What do we know about Hail Marys? What do we know from the Buffalo Bills and Hail Marys? Where basically the Bills defenders tackled guys in the end zone and let the ball hit the ground. They're not going to call it. Especially that garbage officiating crew. And if they did call it, they'd probably stop the next play and say, after further review, there was no pass interference. I digress. I'll talk about the refs here in a little bit. It was just, the refs were awful. Like, not due to causing a win or a loss. They were just incredibly inconsistent and just terrible. They were horrible. The team lacked energy at times. That was one of the times, but those were three things for me that just didn't make sense. Like, I just didn't understand what was happening. There was, from a coaching standpoint, there was an opportunity for the Bills coaches to almost help their guys. In two of the cases, help them. And then in the last case with the interception, help keep from hurting them. And it was interesting to me as well in Sean McDermott's post-game press conference. He said that interception at the end of the first half that never should have happened, which I thought was very telling. Now, there's a lot of conversation around how much control, how involved Sean McDermott is in the offense, in the defense. We know that he's calling the defense. He's the defensive coordinator, but it's special. Like, how much control does he have? And then comments like that one from him in the postgame pressers come up, or in just his pressers in general. That interception at the end of the half that never should have happened. He's not saying that interception at the end of the half that those guys never should have caught and picked off. He's not saying that somehow one of our receivers should have caught it. The receiver was there. He's not saying that there was a penalty and like a penalty should have been called. It never should have been an interception. What he's saying is that play never should have been called and that play never should have even been attempted to be executed. So that makes me wonder, where was he when the play call went in with 2 seconds to go? The play call goes in and it's anything but Josh Allen kneel down on the ball, right? Yeah, just take the snap, kneel down on the ball, victory formation. And I know that he can't call a timeout at that point. So it kind of, maybe that's what happened. Maybe it was, they called the timeout 2 yards. I don't know. Total speculation. And of course it doesn't come up in the post game presser because none of those guys ask those questions. Real question. That's a real question. What were you thinking? Coach, you just said, I don't know why all of a sudden I've got a scratch in the back of my throat. I'm sorry. Coach, you just said that end of the half interception that never should have happened. So what was the thinking there when there's 2 seconds left, right, in the half? You're up by whatever you were up by at that point in time. What was the thought in that play call? Maybe he would have answered the question. Maybe he wouldn't. It was just strange to me. But coming into the second half, the Bills get the football again. They go 8 plays, 75 yards. Score a touchdown on a 4th-and-1 screen pass to Ty Johnson, who took the football 28 yards down the on 4th down. to score, to get it in the end zone. And the stadium was electric at that point, just to see a guy that everybody's like, who's that guy? Really fast, tiptoeing the sideline as he's making his way down the field on fourth and one. It was a great play. It was a great play call. They executed it. The Bills offense executed it perfectly. And that young man got the football in his hands and went to work. And not that there was no looking back at that point. The game was already out of reach for the Jets. Obviously, the Jets only scored one touchdown, 6 points, with a missed PAT. But that was pretty much the moment where my sigh of relief came. The exhale came. Okay, this game is over, right? It's like, oh, this game is over. We're going to go back up by three possessions. Then Tyler Bass misses the point after attempt, and we're only up by two possessions. Damn it. What in the world is happening? This team, my goodness, this team. Listen, you know, the Buffalo Bills were in control of this football game the whole way. So please don't misunderstand. In control of this game the whole, from the opening kickoff when Reggie destroyed that dude and caused the fumble and set the tone, to Nick's point, in control. But I just needed them to, I was at the point where I needed to see them put the Jets away. Not that they weren't going to put them away later in the game, because they did. But I was just eager to see the Bills impose. We've talked about that word a lot on this show over the last couple of years. We needed to see the Buffalo Bills impose their will on them as soon as possible in every waking moment. It's an inferior team. They're on the ropes. You're playing very good against them offensively and defensively. They had several chances to do it. They just couldn't. And there was just one more moment. And I just remember sitting there like, this team, man, this is what they do. We're up two possessions, 16 points. We let these teams hang around. Bad football teams hang around. It's early in the third quarter. Luckily, it didn't happen. Didn't go down that way this time, fam. Didn't go down this way or that way. And I'll be honest with you, you know, when you look at what the Bills have done collectively over the last, we'll say over this season, because there's been high points, a couple high points, Dolphins game, Washington game, right, Raiders game. Been a lot of low points. Giants game, even in a W, Denver game, like just a lot of just the first Jets game. Writing what is wrong sometimes takes time, right? I'm going to say that again. Writing what was wrong sometimes takes time. It's not a matter of we swapped out one dude, Brady for Dorsey. And once we swapped him out, it was like magic. Oof, everything is different. The world is better. The offense is like back to 2020 when Josh Allen was a freaking monster with Brian Daboll. That's just, sometimes that's not the reality. That's not the story that gets written. This was a very, very large step in the right direction, in my opinion. But sometimes righting the wrong takes a little bit of time. And this was some time that we needed to take. And I'm very much good with that. In the end, the Buffalo Bills did exactly what they needed to do. The offense executed very well. Josh Allen played, dare I say, great, aside from one interception. Sure, he didn't complete every pass that he threw, but he played very well. The Buffalo Bills had to fight the officials the whole entire game, who I swear to you, I have never heard, after further review, without an actual review, more times on plays in my entire life. They must have said, after further review, the play has been changed. Six times, seven times without actually reviewing plays after further review. They did it twice on ineligible man downfield calls, which I'm under the impression that once you throw that flag, you call the penalty, ineligible receiver downfield, blah, 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 5-yard penalty, repeat second down. Set the ball down, get everything lined up, blow the whistle, run back in. After further review, there was no ineligible receiver downfield. Well, you already called it. Normally when you, not review, but when you reverse that call, you pick up the flag and you say, there was no penalty for ineligible receiver downfield. You don't throw the flag, make the call, and then reverse it after further review. You can't review a penalty that way. Like, never seen that in my life. Saw it twice. I've also never seen intentional grounding on a quarterback who throws the ball 35 yards downfield and basically has a misread or miscommunication between him and his wide receiver. But the refs were an absolute clown show in this football game. And I'm not going to hang out here just so you guys know, but a clown show. On the Poyer interception, we talked about this a minute ago. Jordan Poyer catches the football. Stadium goes crazy. They celebrate, yada, yada, yada. Offense is on the field. They set the ball. They place the ball, right? They place the ball for the Bills' first offensive snap, post-interception. Blow the whistle to stop the play. The line judges come in to stop the play. The referee turns his microphone on. Bang, his microphone's on. And the referee says on a hot mic, "They've already confirmed this play to me." I don't know if you guys caught that at home. Literally in the stadium, hot mic, the referees, he's running over to the other refs. "They've already confirmed this play to me." New York had already called him, told him, however that technology and communication works, New York had already told him, confirmed, it's an interception, it's a takeaway, it's a turnover, whatever, because all turnovers are reviewed. "They already confirmed the play to me." They, who is they going to be? They is not the other referees because he's the head official. They has to be, it's not a guy in the Bills. They is not a guy in the Jets. They is somebody in New York. Somebody told the referee, "They have already confirmed the play to me." And then you see him holding his ear as they are, maybe it's the dude in the black jacket from the Texans playoff game in 2019? They are talking to him and he's like a little, not disgruntled, but you can see that he's like fighting the urge. "Okay, fine. I'll go get under the hood. I'll go look at the screen." And he runs over, looks under the screen. He's under there for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, to which I was like, "Oh, it's confirmed." After further review, ball hit the ground. Incomplete pass. What is happening? Like, what in the world is happening? It's a freaking clown show. And the amount of correction, it was just amateur hour. Awful, for lack of a better way of saying it. It just wasn't great. And then they're asking in the comment section what happened in the tunnel. Apparently, Deion Dawkins and number 72, I can't remember his name from the Jets, the guy that when they had that little go around, Deion finished the play, landed on top of number 72. He didn't like it. Threw Deion off. That's when Deion kind of flopped, and we all thought the penalty was on the Jets player, number 72, and they called it on Deion, which I don't get that because guys clear piles all the time. There were Jets players clearing the pile in this game all the time, but Deion does it, and he gets because the other player reacted. But those two guys kind of went at each other a little bit in the tunnel on the way out of the game. All right, let's move on. Story of this football game, you know, short and sweet for this game. The Bills, you know, we know are in control of their own destiny. Coming into this game, they were in control. If they want to play in the postseason, we've said it on the show 15 times already today, they've got to win pretty much every game from here on out. They had to have this game, starting with this game, they had to have it. And there was also a lot of smoke around this football game with the firing of Dorsey. If this offense came out in this game and put another stinker on the board, looked completely flat, lacked energy, lacked execution, lacked complementary football, lacked any type of making any sense. Bad news. Bad things, man. That seat, that hot seat, that seat that Sean McDermott was sitting on that was getting warm, you pretty much are turning the gas all the way up. But thank God Joe Brady called a pretty good game coming off the bench, not having called a game in a couple of years. Since he was with the Panthers, the offense responded and executed a balanced attack against a team that is very good against the pass, which is important the way that I just said that. They ran the ball well, which helped them throw the ball pretty well against a very good defense. They played, as I said earlier, to the chagrin of some, very complimentary football. real quick in this game, the stats, the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen was 20 for 32, 275 with three touchdowns and an interception that didn't have to be there. James Cook, 17 carries for 73 yards. Latavius Murray, 10 carries for 35 yards. Josh Allen ran it five times for 15 yards. Ty Johnson, 3 for 11. Excuse me. Receiving, Khalil Shakir, 3 for 115 with a touchdown. Had the big 82-yard catch, 81-yard snag for a touchdown. Ty Johnson, 3 for 47. Dalton Kincaid, 6 for 46. James Cook, 3 for 29. And then we finally get to Stephon Diggs, 4 for 27. Deontay Hardy is on the stat sheet, probably because he got targeted 0 for 0. But in a game where the Buffalo Bills won 32-6, team stats, total yards, Bills 393 to the Jets 155, passing yards 263 for the Bills, rushing yards 130, yards per play 5.5. Bills had 22 first downs, 1 for 1 on fourth down efficiency, it says. I don't think that's right. But I could be wrong. Three punts, one sack allowed. The Bills had six sacks actually on the Jets. The Jets lost two fumbles, and Rasul Douglas had two interceptions. Rasul had a game. Brother had a game. Now let's talk real quick about standings. The Denver Broncos are playing the Minnesota Vikings while I'm speaking and while you're listening to me if you're watching me live. The Broncos at 4-5, they're not out of it, but they're getting close, right? So last week when there were six teams or seven teams vying for three positions, playoff positions, the herd has thinned a little bit. So there's seven playoff positions going into the playoffs, seven seeds going into the playoffs, sorry. The four division winners automatically are in. Right now, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, Jaguars. Then you've got to look at the teams with like records to the Bills and decide, or is going to be decided, if the Bills don't win the division, which three of them are going to make it into the playoffs to complete the seven. The Bills are at 6-5. The Jets are not out of it, but 4-6 are getting close. The Raiders are 5-6 with a backup quarterback. The Browns are 7-3 with a backup quarterback. Best defense in football, but a backup quarterback. The Steelers are 6-4, and Mike Tomlin, I've said it 100 times here and on Twitter, is probably the greatest head coach, NFL head coach of all time, is doing miracles with a garbage football team and a garbage quarterback. But they're 6-4. Don't scare me, but they're 6-4. The Browns could find themselves in the playoffs this year. And then behind the Jaguars, the team that's probably the most scary, the most concerning, would be the Texans at 6-4. C.J. Stroud, who is not only playing like the NFL Rookie of the Year, but maybe the NFL MVP. I can't imagine a world where a rookie is the NFL football MVP, but that kid is playing as such. And then you've got the Colts at 5-5. Again, I believe with a backup quarterback. So it's getting tighter. It's getting thicker, right? When you look at who the Bills are playing, as far as for the rest of this season, who's on their schedule and who they're competing against for that last spot, which right now looks to be the Browns, Steelers, and Texans, or the Jaguars if the Texans overtake the Jaguars. Work to be done. At the end of the day, the Buffalo Bills can't allow, right? They can't allow it to get away from them. They can't be in a situation where they don't win out and they find themselves on the wrong side of this thing. So that's where we are from a standing standpoint. And again, we're going to talk about this pretty much every week going forward until we know if the Bills have secured a playoff seed. Dude Awards. Working right through my notes in the show. It's like everything's back to normal. I'm back in my studio. I'm not traveling. It's evening time after Bills victory. I've got a little glass of bourbon. It's fantastic. Go Bills. Victory Monday's upon us. So on this show, a lot of people do thumbs up, thumbs down, arrow up, arrow down. We do the Dude Awards, which basically means when a guy has played well, we go, dude, great job. And if a guy is not playing well, we go, dude, bro, we got to talk. Just not good. Haven't done them in a while because there really hasn't been much to talk about. And frankly, it was me, striking against, just basically boycotting the Dude Awards because I was pissed the last couple of weeks. And that's what it comes down to. Like, I didn't want to talk about who's playing good, because I didn't feel like nobody on the team outside of the defense was playing good. And I didn't want to every week go, defense good dude, offense bad dude, or special teams bad dude. Which, by the way, we probably need to have start having some serious conversations around the special teams and the way that they're playing, because they are not playing well, the special teams unit, at all. Rasul Douglas, first dude award. Ending the Buffalo Bills' six-game interception drought with two picks. And the first pick that he had was a contested pick. He took the ball away. It was freaking fantastic. But not only did he have two interceptions, he had a fumble recovery. He had a couple key pass breakups. Rasul Douglas had himself a game and basically made whatever Brandon Bean sent to the Packers for him completely worth it. Not only do we have him this year, we've got him next year. And he's a guy that you want to see probably hang around for a while. Rasul Douglas came to play in this football game. You can tell that he fits well in the system. He's probably going to fit well, continue to fit well in the system. But yeah, Rasul Douglas played well. James Cook, I felt, got one of my dude awards. He has played since that fumble where they sat him down because they made him take the blame for, I guess, all of the team's bad play. Since that fumble last week, James Cook has been playing lights out. He has just been a man on fire. Josh Allen gets a dude award for me today. Kind of a bounce back dude award. The defensive line. Leonard Floyd is a man that plays with his hair. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to see Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, Ed Oliver, and Daquan Jones lining up together on this defensive front. Like a healthy Von Miller, right? Leonard Floyd, a healthy Daquan Jones, and Ed Oliver. Give me that seven times a week. Like, that's what I want to see, but we're not going to get it. Maybe not this year. So hopefully next year we'll get it. I think Leonard Floyd, though, is on a one-year contract. We'll see if he decides that he wants to come back to Buffalo. But the defensive line for me, all of those dudes get a dude award. And then honorable mention, Khalil Shakir with the 81-yard, I think it's 81-yard touchdown, longest touchdown in the 2023 season in the entire NFL. As you all know, I am a guy who wanted to see Khalil Shakir prove himself before we just were gifting him roster spots. And this young man has stepped up in a great way. He's played very, very good football this year in a situation where, you know, other guys aren't. And we'll talk about that in a second. My first down dude award. Dude, we got to talk, bro. We got to step aside here and talk. First one goes to Tyler Bass. I'm sorry. I know he missed one PAT. I know we won, what, by 26 points. The reality is kickers can't miss point after attempts. You just can't do it. So Tyler Bass is going to get my first down dude award. My second down dude award is going to go to Gabe Davis, who I think I'm going to rename him Ghost Davis. Where does this guy go for entire football games? There was a time that I believe that maybe he wasn't in the route, right? He wasn't the guy that the ball was supposed to go to. Bro didn't even have a target in this football game. Like, in the last three games, I think he's got two catches. Gabe Davis has to be better if this offense is going to work. Otherwise, get him off the football field. Let Trent Sherfield or somebody like that that has a similar stature to him take those number two reps. Can Trent get open? I don't know. Clearly, Gabe can't. He's not in a position where Josh can see him or find him. Ghost Davis is where I'm going with this right now. And then my last down dude award goes to the refs, who we already kind of have decided were absolute garbage in this football game. After this football game, I posted on the Overreaction Buffalo Twitter handle, which if you are not following, you should run right now and follow the Overreaction Buffalo Twitter handle. I said, Joe Brady, victorious in his first game as the interim OC. How's that win got you feeling, Bills Mafia? Reading your tweets live on the Overreaction Show tonight at 10 p.m. First one comes from Payton, my guy Payton at Payton. It's much more than a hunch that this group must somehow form a family, and they've all become the Brady Bunch. And he's got the Brady Bunch squares with all the guys in there. Freaking fantastic. Richard Rush, my guy Richard R. Rush, too. The Bills looked a lot better. Look like a lot better team with Joe Brady calling plays. Time will tell. That's absolutely true. Time will only tell. Pamela, my girl at Pamadonna, who's in the chat. Me again. Hi. I think that's a Taylor Swift. Hi, it's me. Never mind. Different thing. Sorry, my bad. This win couldn't have come at a more perfect time. They've been crap, she says. Their confidence is low. They needed a big win to remind them of who they are going into the next several weeks of really tough teams. I like that they are getting their second wind at this point. If there is a time to come together, if there's a time to play your best football, Pamela, you are right. 'tis now. So that is very good. Jonathan Dates at JNS Dates. I know it's only one game, but it felt so much easier on offense this game. It seems like the game plan focused on exploiting the Jets' weaknesses instead of trying to become something they aren't. As a result, Josh was able to trust the plan instead of forcing things. I like that. That's a great take, Jonathan. Thank you for being a part of the show. Karen at Karen Free Josh Allen at Go Sabres Bills. Hashtag Wildest Dreams Land back on. Not yet. We're gonna press pause on that, Karen, for maybe next week. The Buffalo Bills come out and beat the Eagles next week. Wildest Dreams Land is back on. Looked like, she says, continues, looked like they were back to having fun out there. Of course, Big Dubs helps with that. Keep it rolling into next Sunday. TDs aplenty will be needed to win because field goals will just not cut it. Well, good news is that Eagles defense, though tough, is not quite the Jets defense. However, the Eagles offense is way better than the Jets offense. But, you know, 32 points we put up. Might need 42 next week, but we'll see. We'll see. Our defense is pretty good too. C-Dub, hashtag Bills Mafia at Chriswell73. Awesome game against the dumb Jets, but injuries are getting scary. Probably won't be able to beat the Eagles, but hopefully these Bills can heal up during the bye week and then smack the freaking Chiefs in their stupid faces. Oh, that's amazing. love it. Pamela back for more. Phew, 10 p.m., she says. They got their mojo back. Let's hope it stays. Pamela, like, double dipped in this. They got their mojo back. Let's hope it stays. They're going to need it. Go Bills. Go Bills, Pamela. NBA Hoops Online at NBA Boards. I like the play calling, but I'm not on the OC is the issue train. I would tell you, bro or girl, I don't know if this is a guy or girl. I apologize for assuming that. The OC is not the only issue. The offense in general, Josh Allen was part of the problem. The players were part of the problem. The game plan was part of the problem. There was a lot going on there. And he goes on to say, the issues have been mistakes on all sides of the ball. It's true. The Jets TD drive is an example. Put the Bills under pressure and they make mistakes. I'm not sure that's exactly what happened there. There were some penalties. Obviously, special teams, you know, gave up that fake punt situation, but it is what it is. I Mike 2333. Keep that running game going. That balance of running and throwing will open up space for easier gains on the field. Go Bills, he says, and then squirrel. I don't know why he said squirrel, but he did. Maybe he's making fun of me. Maybe not. I don't know. Mike Graham. All right, Mike 13. Finally, complimentary football. Offense looked like they got some energy back against a very good Jets defense. Feeling a little more confident in this team. Still a lot of work to do. So true. My guy Jason, who I got to see all the way from Scotland. Scottish Bills Mafia Jason at Jason Scott Bills. It was good, but not as good as the Wings at Adolph's. It's true. He got together on Saturday at Adolph's down in the first ward. And good wings. Really, really good wings. I was surprised. Go Bills, he says. Absolutely. Xavier Stutz at XCS713. Great win, and he's got Gabe Davis on the back of a milk carton. Well done. Papa Ron at Ronnie Eastam. I'm scared to say, but couldn't this be the beginning of turning the season completely around? It could be, Ronnie. You might be on something. Okay, at NPinto22. Just what the doctor prescribed. Indeed. 207 Bills fan at Reed_Levine. Are the boys back? At the very least, a step in the right direction. Great team win. On to the next. Love it. Tim Assenfelter, at IL Bills fan, Illinois Bills fan. Good impression by Brady. Balanced O. Special teams beside the forced fumble. Still an issue. We just talked about that. Wrong guy got fired. Too soon, maybe. Go home injury bug. Prayers for the guys to get healthy. Keep believing. Philly can be beat. Go Bills. Well, Philly can be beat. They got beat by, did they get beat by the Jets or did the Cleveland Browns beat the Jets? One of the two teams beat the, I can't remember. I'm sure in the comment section it'll show up. My girl Pamela coming in with a super chat late. Pamela says, Joe, keep those play calls going next week. You rocked it tonight. Well, Joe Brady. I'm guessing she's talking to Joe Brady, not Joe. Oh, you're making fun of that. So she took a picture of Joe Brady and put it in one of the chats that we're in, the DM chat groups that we're in. And she said, is this Joe Miller? It took me a minute, but I got you, Pamela. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Appreciate you, as you know. Bills Media 716 at Bills Media 716. Rezul Douglas. Love it. Autumn at Autumn RE_sports. This is how I feel. It was a great team win. She got the gift of the Bills all dancing in the red jerseys. I get down with that a little bit. James Alexander Perks at Mr. J Perks 6789. Much better execution this week on offense. Lots of variance with the receiver targets. Defense was excellent as well, with a lot of sacks and takeaways. Josh looked like he was having fun out there again. Kincaid and Shakir look like better options in the passing game than Gabe Davis. Go Bills. You said it, James, not me. Me at M No Truth one game? Just wait until there's some film on this offense. You'll be calling for his firing by the season's end. I don't know who this guy is, but I don't think we're going to be calling for an interim offensive coordinator's firing. We're probably just going to let the season play out there, me. The Texas Punisher at Punisher Texas. Ha, too soon. Just got to make the playoffs and get after it. Then he's got Chris Farley doing the Chippendales shirtless stripper dance with the Super Bowl dance under it. Funny stuff. David B. Bell at David B. Bell 1. We look like a normal functional offense. Now let's see what we look like next week. David, we will see. Tyler Wilson at LeBounty Barber 1. A great win. The whole team had a swagger about them. The opening kickoff was great, a great tone setter. Unlike the last few weeks, we finally won the time of possession and turnover battle, and a great trade for RD31, Rasul Douglas. Definitely showed out today. Keep it going for the rest of the season. Go Bills. Go Bills indeed. Dave at Chase's Dad 0729. Feeling good, but remaining with cautious optimism. Next week is a big week. For now, we are 1-0, 100%. Grim BW at Grim BW. Loving the progress. Need to keep the momentum. Super tough road to the playoffs. It is indeed. We're going to be here together. We're all in this together, Grim. We are all in this together. Leon B. at L. Antonio 84. Love the juice the entire team played with today. Looking forward to the same energy next week against the Bengals. He's got the Ted Lasso gift that says, smells like potential. And it does indeed. Mrs. KCB at Ophelia AFL, or Ophelia FL, Ophelia Florida. Glad for the win, but there's still a tough road to hoe, she says. Adam has a little gif of a dude dancing, skinny guy dancing. I think that's Norman Reedus in that gif, but I'm not exactly sure. Michael Trifonoff, sorry, butchering a name, at Trip the Man. Happy for him, but pissed at McDermott for wasting a large portion of the year. I get it. Cameo Chicharis. Hey, it's Camo. Cut down the rope. Let's see what next holds for us. Jim DeMarco at James M. DeMarco. Ask us after next week's game. So he doesn't want to know about this week how we're feeling. He wants me to ask him next week. Well, you will be asked next week, win or loss, how you're feeling, Jim. So I expect to see you back here. Juice at Juice_Tastic. He's got Will Ferrell from Old School. We're going streaking. So yeah, apparently he's really excited. Michael Mix at Adirondack Mike 7. Finally, they woke up. They should have fired Dorsey after the Bengals playoff loss last season. You might be onto something. David Meadows at TFN Comic Book. He's got the woo gif from wrestling. That's not too bad. What do we got here? I think I've only got a couple more for you. Brandon 6-5 at BK Nickley. He's got a dude running through a wall. Doesn't take much more than that, ladies and gentlemen. A dude running through a wall is how a whole lot of folks feel after that football game. Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to hang out with you this post-game victory Sunday, soon to be victory Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until next Sunday, here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show. My name is Joe Miller. I'm the host of this year's show. This show is brought to you by the Market Dominator team. John Spaschek is the leader of that team. Please, if you're in the market for a new home or to sell or buy or whatever, and you want to call the right guy, you want to call the right team, call John, 716-570-3298. And we are, as always, right here on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. It's so good to have all of you with me. Appreciate you guys. I'm getting you out just under an hour. Not too bad. But yes, good times are here again. Enjoy this win. Enjoy this week. Walk around with a smile on your face. And to everybody that can hear my voice, happy Thanksgiving. No, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm thankful for you. Appreciate you guys. Go Bills.